Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our final.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of our day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. So there you go. There's a nice compliment. And if you just tuned in, that's what you get to look forward to. And everybody's going to be a little smarter because Richard DeKayser is in the building, so to speak, ladies and gentlemen. Richard is Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank. He's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, one of the smartest guys I know, and he's here to talk to us about the economy. And we're going to talk a little bit about what he and I think the Fed is going to do, I guess, today. I think this is a one-day meeting they're going to do today with regard to interest rates. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Always good to be here, Jim. Thanks so much.
It's good to have you back. Richard, I really love the way you framed your last article, the last piece I got from you, your financial market outlook. You said, are we happy yet?
Right.
I love the way you framed this. And so you know, you look around, we look around ourselves, and I think sometimes Americans, we decide whether we're happy or not by listening to the news media. And you know, for some reason, the news media was able to convince Americans that our economy is, you know, needs help and needs fixing. It's in bad shape when we had 4.4% unemployment and, you know, growing jobs like crazy. What are we saying? What are Americans saying when you ask them, are we happy yet? What are they saying about the economy?
Well, I think you're right. And I think there's a natural tendency in the media to focus on whatever issues tend to be the issues of the day. And frankly, I think, it's human nature that we focus on our concerns, our problems, our anxieties. And there's a whole bevy of public opinion polls which address these questions, globalization, healthcare. And if you see the results, it's natural to come away with a slightly darker cast than I think is actually the case. And the reason I say that is that there are surveys which ask generic questions, not how do you feel about this particular issue or that, but how do you feel generally about your family's income, your family's prospects, and that sort of thing. And believe it or not, where we are right now is exactly the norm or the average, if you will, for economic expansions. If you look what happened in the 80s and the 90s and so far during this decade, forgetting about the recessions, just the times of economic expansion, we have consumer confidence, which is pretty much about where you'd expect it to be. Now, having said that, the administration has claimed with some good reason that it should be even higher still. And I've done a little number crunching to ask the question, where would confidence today be based on things like unemployment, stock price, inflation and the like? And it does seem like it should be somewhat higher, which leads it open to interpretation as what this thing is that might be keeping a ceiling on people's sentiments. But without a doubt, the big message here, in spite of what your perceptions might be, is that the American consumer is fundamentally in a constructive, not irrationally exuberant like 99, but certainly not pessimistic disposition.
Well, you know, Richard, the news media, and even though I'm I guess I don't consider myself to be part of the news media, I am part of the media. We try to be a little more practical and a lot less dour than some of the outlets are. But I'm imagining, Richard, we're outside of a mall, and it's the holiday season, and the mall is about to open. And there are thousands of people lined up, waving cash in their hand. They've got each one of them has a wad of cash in their hand, and they're waving it to get into the mall. And a reporter would see that and would see all those people, and they would ask those people why they were there and everything. And here would be the headline. Instead of saying, the economy is so great, thousands of people are rushing to shopping malls, waving their money to spend their money. They're so excited, so exuberant. Here would be the headline. Consumers unhappy, when they ran out of TMX Elmos.
Okay. It's entirely possible.
You and I have both seen that. You know, instead of reporting the big issue, you know, they've got to find, okay, you know, did you find what you wanted? No, they ran out of TMX Elmos before I got there. That's the headline.
Well, the only reason I'm hesitating is I don't know what a TMX Elmo is.
Well, it's one of these stupid little dolls, the little Elmo doll that does acrobatics. And I just found that out in the last 24 hours, so don't feel bad.
Right.
I had to do a little research on that. But my point is, I really think I'd like to see Americans, you know, before you believe all that stuff, before you drink Lou Dobbs Kool-Aid, that you actually look around you and say, wait a minute, I've got a job. You know, I bought a new car this year. I have a house. You know, I can take a vacation. Things aren't that bad. What's he talking about? Stand by, Richard. We're going to be right back. We're going to ask Richard to tell us some more things that we're happy about right after these messages. Richard DeKayser is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
I'll be right home.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Richard DeKayser, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank, which is a bank that has, what, 1,300 branches across the Midwest there?
That's right, and soon coming to a Florida near you.
A Florida branch near you, so good for you. And that's nationalcity.com, right?
Correct.
Richard, Now we're reading the Richard DeKayser headlines about the economy. What does it say?
Well, it says the economy has slowed down pretty considerably through the past eight or nine months, but to a pace which, by any standard, is not terribly disappointing.
Basically, we've gone from 150 miles an hour to 70 miles an hour.
Well, we've gone from 70 to 40, I think, better. You know, yeah, you know, a good rule of thumb. Here's a frame of reference. The U.S. economy is generally thought to be capable of doing somewhere between 3 and 3.5% GDP growth on a sustained basis. If we go over that growth rate for a long time, years, we'll start running into inflation problems and vice versa. If we grow under that rate, unemployment will kick up. So 2004, we saw GDP growth north of that, around 4.2%. And then ever since, it's been in the 3.5% territory. So this year, past 9 months, we're running at about a 2% clip. And that is entirely deliberate, which brings us to the topic of today's show. The Federal Reserve is trying to slow the economy. It's concerned about inflationary pressures, or as they would characterize it, high levels of resource utilization.
They're trying to tap the brakes, right? Not put
exactly,
on the brakes.
Exactly, exactly. They're trying to do now what they did successfully in 1995, which is to tap the brakes, slow down momentum a little bit, and provide the kind of growth that can continue for years rather than bumping up against constraints, which brings it to a premature end.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think what people need to realize, I think to talk about 2.5%, 3%, 3.5%, 4% growth, I think that's really a number out of context for most people.
Yeah.
What I think they ought to do is take that number and put it right beside $12 or $13 trillion.
Right.
I mean, if you think 2.5 to 3% growth is not great, well, do the math on that. I mean, you're talking about a huge economy, the largest by more than half on the planet. Over the second one, and when you talk about that kind of a percentage on that kind of a number, that's huge, isn't it?
I mean, it is, and I have to make clear for the listeners. I mean, economists tend to talk about GDP in real or inflation-adjusted terms, but most people think in terms that they encounter the world directly, and that's nominal. You have to include prices. So 2.5 to 3.5, let's say 3 to make it a round number. Real GDP growth, you throw in a couple points of inflation, which we've been experiencing, gets you up around 5 or 6%. So that's the kind of metric which I think is more appropriate for most of the listening audience to relate to in terms of what we can do over time. And of course, you get a bank economist like myself talking about the power of compounding. You string together a few years like that, and you're really talking big numbers.
Well, you know, I'm trying to read this article that Edward Prescott, one of your contemporaries, who's an advisor to the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. Here's a quote. Here's something he said. He's talking about the economy and how he says the economy is fundamentally sound. He said we should expect 3% real growth, based on 2% increases in productivity and 1% population growth.
Exactly.
In other words, he's basically saying the United States has almost a built-in 3% growth factor. What do you think?
There's a terrible joke that says if you lined all the economists end to end, you'd never reach a conclusion. But the reason I throw that out there is because this is actually something which all macroeconomists, without exception, at least in my experience, agree on. There's two ingredients for economic growth, not five, not four, not one, two. Number one is labor productivity, and number two is labor force. If you're growing workable bodies, as we are, at about 1%, and if you're growing the ability of those bodies to be producing at about a 2% pace, that's where you get to 3% GDP growth, and there's no more rocket science to that. I mean, there are many, many, many other factors which influence labor force growth, which influence labor productivity. But at the end of the day, that's where economic growth comes from. So Mr. Prescott is absolutely correct, and that's where I come up with that benchmark that I just threw out for you a moment ago, which helps, I think, to keep in perspective these metrics and understand how good or not good things may be at any point in time. And again, just to go back to where we've been experiencing GDP growth for the past 3.5-4 years, in excess of that 3% rule of thumb, and that's not something realistically which can be sustained.
Well, and see, the thing, I wish we could get what you and I were just talking about. I wish we could get that in the front of our politicians, of our members of Congress, and even the people who are in the White House, to say, hey guys, you know what, this thing is really kind of set up okay. This economy, this marketplace. Why don't you just leave it alone? We'll let you know if we need any help. Just get out of the way. And if you just won't muck it up, you'll have all the money you want to spend.
I agree. I mean, generally, I think that reducing interference, reducing meddling is going to provide better prospects for our growth. But
the opposite of which is raising minimum wage.
I'm sorry?
The opposite of which, what you just said, is raising minimum wage.
Right, right. Now, fortunately, the kind of raise we're going to see there is relatively modest based on historical standards.
I
know you don't.
I don't like any of it. It really annoys me. Stand by. Not that people make more money. Folks, they're making more money. The law is not needed.
Right.
Gentile, stay with us.
With the old man stranded again, so off I'd ran. Young world crashing around me. No possibility of getting what I need.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Richard DeKayser is our guest and our good friend, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank. That's nationalcity.com. I encourage you. Can they put economics or economist on the end? How do they get to your part?
Sure. If you just put at the end of nationalcity.com/economics, you'll find all our publications and research free to the public.
Check it out, folks. It's important stuff that Richard does. Richard, okay, I got other things I want to talk to you about. Before we go to that, I want to make sure that we get your prediction in for what you think the Fed's going to do. The Federal Open Market Committee, ladies and gentlemen, meets about 8 times a year. They're meeting today. And in that meeting, there are approximately 19 people who will be sitting around the table talking about what they think the economy is doing, what their thoughts are on the economy, and 12 of those 19 will then vote on what they think we should do with monetary policy. Should interest rates go up? Should they come down? Should they stay the same? Should we send a message that we're leaning one way or the other? Richard, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, for the past 4 months, their vote has been generally to do nothing. No increase, no reduction in interest
rates.
After
17 straight increases.
That's right. There's been one dissenting voice at the Federal Reserve, but the overwhelming majority has said, let's do nothing. And frankly, They're struggling. They're dealing with two forces. They do see the economy slowing down, but as I said a moment ago, that's deliberate and partly intended to provide this pause that refreshes. On the other hand, they don't want to cut interest rates because inflation's been running above their preferred target range. And
What is that right now?
Well, it's a very funny thing because it's not an official number, but the Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, has issued his personal preference, which has been reinforced by a lot of the other folks there, which is for 1% to 2%, and that is a very esoteric measure. It's called the Core Personal Consumption Expenditure Deflator,
right,
which excludes food and energy, and it's been running about 2.5% for a while now. So,
how much did you say, 3 to 4?
No, they want to see it between 1 and 2.
No, but I mean, how much has it been running?
About 2.5.
2.5, yeah. And I think Kiplinger reported recently on my show that it was going to be about that rate next year.
Yeah, that's right. Now most people might be saying, "My God, all this fuss for a half a percentage point seems kind of silly," but it's larger than that. It's maintaining credibility. It's convincing the financial markets that at the end of the day they're going to deliver the goods.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it may seem like a small difference, it takes on outsized proportion to the Fed. So until we see that change, no likely change in interest rates.
What do you think? And by the way, I agree with you. I think they're going to stand pat, and I think they're going to stand pat for a while, unless things happen.
Right.
Unless we start getting some quarterly numbers that blow people out of the water, I think they're going to stand pat for a long time. And it wouldn't surprise me if they don't do anything next year in one way or the other. Richard, what do you think about, we've got small business owners listening to you right now who are trying to make plans for 2007. What would you tell them?
Very mixed bag. And in fact, this is totally characteristic of the moment we're in the economy right now. Some sectors are going to be doing fine. Commercial construction is doing great. Most consumer-related sectors are doing great. If you're in the residential or housing market or selling goods which go into the housing market, things are quite, quite bleak. So,
why are you saying that?
Well, sales are down about 15% over the past 12 to 18 months.
Now, are those national numbers? I get the feeling sometimes reporters just call the Toll Brothers up, the publicly traded residential housing. They call Toll Brothers up, and however they're doing, that's what they think the national housing's doing.
Well, no. Actually, like I said, actual sales are down about 15%, admittedly, off of an all-time record high in 2005. But construction is really unbalanced. They built far too many properties. There's a tremendous overhang of unsold homes out there. So construction activity is down closer to 20-25%. So, this is just 5% of the economy. If you cater to that 5%, it's the whole world. But if you don't, it's not taking on all that importance. So the reason I'm giving you all this, Jim, is it's difficult to give one answer, and it depends tremendously on which sectors you're in at this time.
But in general, a macro standpoint, the economy is doing okay next year.
Yes, it is. It is. And I think, as the year plays out, the first half will be softer than the second half, and we'll be back into that, that 3% or better territory.
But we're still going to create a over a million jobs next year, aren't we?
Just about a million, yep. If we put on 100,000 a month, that'll give us 1.2 million. I think we're going to be right around in that territory.
That can't be bad. Richard DeKayser, thank you for being here. Good job today. We appreciate all the things you do for us, and happy holidays.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Richard DeKayser, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but not for a little while. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.